Caitlin Clark's rebuttal, Katy Perry's copyright complaint, and the case for doubting the Iran deal. Caitlin Clark said at WNBA All-Star Weekend in Chicago that she objects to a false characterization of who she is by media, remarks arriving after weeks of controversy involving on-court incidents and commentary she described as racially charged. Clark is the most visible player the league has ever produced, with attendance records, viewership records, and merchandise sales that have materially changed the WNBA's financial model. Much of the coverage around her has been driven by commentators who could not name five other players in the league, making the conflict less a basketball story than a culture war proxy. Clark chose to address the characterization directly rather than deflect. Messi's absence from the MLS All-Star game marked the third consecutive year the superstar, who joined Inter Miami in 2023, did not appear in the league's midseason showcase. This year, the reason given was rest following a World Cup run, a legitimate rationale. The pattern nonetheless creates a structural problem for a league that sold part of its All-Star event on the implicit promise of Messi as a marquee attraction. Katy Perry separately demanded the White House stop using her song Firework in a TikTok video celebrating Iran strikes, stating her music is for bringing people together, not celebrating warfare. The choice of the song, written about resilience and self-expression, suggests its selectors were operating on aesthetic vibe without consideration of the artist's intent or licensing requirements. The most confident claim circulating in Iran analysis, that Oman brokered talks will produce a face-saving de-escalation, a pause becoming a ceasefire becoming a framework agreement, deserves serious stress testing. The strongest counter-argument begins with Iranian domestic politics. Pezeshkian's public disclosure that Khamenei privately authorized talks, if it spreads inside Iran, could render any negotiated agreement politically toxic before it reaches final form. Hardline factions in the Revolutionary Guard and Parliament have every incentive to characterize a negotiated pause as capitulation. A peace deal signed by a government that then collapses from within is no deal at all. The reliability of Oman's mediation rests on an assumption that what Muscat conveys from Tehran represents what Tehran actually intends. Historical precedent includes cases where back-channel messages reflected one Iranian faction's position, but not the government's as a whole. If the Revolutionary Guard and Pezeshkian's team are not coordinating on the talks, what Oman believes it is brokering may not be enforceable. A third-party spoiler problem exists as well. Netanyahu's Tuesday visit to Trump could produce understandings about continued strikes that undermine the diplomatic track without any party to the Oman talks formally breaking faith. Analysts suggested watching three indicators for signs the confident de-escalation scenario is breaking down. Whether the Revolutionary Guard makes any public statement about the Oman talks in the next 10 days, with silence suggesting at least tacit hardliner tolerance. Whether U.S. munitions replenishment orders appear in defense procurement announcements, which would indicate the military is planning for continued strikes rather than wind down. And what specific language Trump and Netanyahu use publicly after Tuesday's meeting, not the official readout, but the phrasing around all options. A fourth indicator, Hormuz vessel traffic data tracked by shipping intelligence firms in near real time. If commercial traffic normalizes before any public announcement, the market knows something the press releases do not.